welcome everybody to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Today is September 8th, 2018, and we're here live for the next 2 hours. And hopefully I'm going to be all right because I can't find my glasses. we'll work through it. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot going on in the show today like we always do every week. But like I always say, before I start the show, I start it with a good fresh cup of Joe from CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron. They got flavored, premium, decaf, the whole works. So it's a good deal. And Becky's got a good deal going over there on Monsters 2 for $4. Also, Clem McKeska's Barbecue here in Cameron. There are new sponsors, and they got a special going on. You buy one barbecue plate at regular price, you get the second plate for half price. So go there, make sure you take advantage of the deal, and then when you're done eating that food, wash it down with some Monsters from CEFCO, and it'll be a good deal, okay? Full circle there. All right, check it out. Now, we're simulcasting here live here on KMIL 105.1 FM right here, right now, and also in Rockdale, KRXT at 98.5 FM. So you can, if one staticky, go to the other, if vice versa. Check us out on your smartphones, whatever it takes to listen. Also, contact us here at the studio. We're going to change it up a little bit because we have a little bit of static on the lines. So write this number down. If you want to call into the studio today, 254-697-4721. It's 254-697-4721. And I'll be repeating it during the course of the day so you can call in. And we're going to try and bypass the static on the show. If you want to contact me via email, aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, or go directly to the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram. And like us on Facebook. Okay, so there's many different ways. We got lots of videos on the YouTube channel. We got lots of information on Facebook and Instagram, and also we've got some great videos showing the next prize for the round robin. I'll be talking about that too. So check out the Facebook page at Aaron's Gun Shop. Check out the Instagram, and you'll see me holding the prize for this month's, next Friday, the 14th, round robin competition. Okay, show highlights. Let me tell you what's going on for today's show. Today we've got three true stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column, and my faithful board operator Trey Wallace and I are going to go over it story by story and give our personal opinions as to what was good, what was bad, what's indifferent in those stories, so that's always an interesting segment. In my License to Carry Attorney segment with attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, he hasn't been here in a couple weeks, we're going to be discussing what's the legal age you can own a firearm and all the ins and outs about it. There's a lot of different angles to this and questions, military, non-military, 18 to 20, 21 years of age, types of weapons, so on and so forth. So we're going to discuss that. It's good to know because I get this question all the time, and legalities, if you're not aware of them, can cause you problems. Today's tactical snacking segment with the delicious Janae Goodman is going to be hurricane preparedness. So be prepared to be blown away by this segment. it's going to be good, though, Trey. It's going to be good.
No, that was actually pretty good.
All right. At 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the man of manners, the communicator of common sense, the epitome of encyclopedia and all-around good guy, Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight, the Mossberg Shockwave in 410. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've talked about this gun here. I love it. I think it's fantastic. And when I saw the 410, I drooled. It's just perfect. And for you ladies, it's absolutely perfect. So pay attention to that segment sponsored by ANSI Firearms and Heidenhammer. My special guest today is Anna McKeska, owner of the well-known Clem McKeska's barbecue chain. And we have one right here in Cameron. It's located inside the Hilltop CEFCO here in Cameron. And don't forget, if you buy one barbecue plate at regular price, you get the second one at half price. Tell them you heard it here on the radio for that to happen, okay? Then I think we're going to have Cindy Key and Master Cindy Key going over some self-defense moves that she's probably going to use on me. She's been going through a lot of challenges, and I have a feeling when she comes back, she's going to take out those challenges on me. So to your benefit, you'll get to be able to learn how to defend yourself.
I hope for the listeners out there, and maybe for me a little more, she has saved it all up just for you.
You sick people out there enjoy me getting beat up and kicked around. Okay. So we're going to, strap yourselves in here, crank up the volume, tell all your friends to listen. And when we get back from this first break, we're going to be going over true stories and then my opinion piece. And then after that, we'll be having attorney extraordinaire Ben Ross Watson. See you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
This next segment is made possible by Clem McKeska's Barbecue in Cameron.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, it's September 8th, 2018. If you want to be part of the show, we got a special phone number today. It's going to be 254-697-4721. And if you call and I miss it, call again and I'll pick it up. It's 254-697-4721. Okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to do our true stories like we do every week. This one is out of the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. And my faithful operator, board operator, Trey Wallace, and I are going to listen to it and give our opinions. And you can call in, too, if you got one. Story number one. On Father's Day, a day when men spend quality time with their families, a pastor was required to defend his loved ones and others with a gun. The father acted after a man was wreaking havoc in the area. The armed citizen was in line at the Walmart near Olympia, Washington, when he heard gunshots coming from outside. He said he recognized the sound as gunshots because he had gone through active shooter training and carries concealed. The troublemaker was attempting to carjack a vehicle and had shot the driver twice. That was when the pastor started to close in on the suspect. Once he was within range, he fired. After the gunman fell out of the car, the pastor made sure he was no longer a threat and started administering first aid. I carry a firearm for the same reason that I carry a first aid bag, hoping to never have to use them, but always being prepared nonetheless, the armed citizen said. That Sunday, he used both. So we have a pastor who is active in society.
You know, the first thing I think is, I want this dude on the show.
Yeah, really.
I mean, he is the archetype of what we do here. Preparedness and have it and hope not need it. But if we do need it, we have it.
Well, the other aspect of it is, too, a lot of people think, you know, you should have guns in church. Well, here the pastor is carrying a gun. Just because, I mean, you can live God's word, but he never said you can't defend yourself.
As far as I'm concerned, that horrible shooting in that church here in Texas put paid to that idea.
That's right.
A long time ago.
All right, so hip hip hooray for the pastor in Olympia, Washington. Story number two. In the sleepy town of Bowie, Mississippi, a teen was faced with a life or death situation. The boy was home alone when an uncle armed with a hatchet threatened the teen's life. The 16-year-old used a hunting rifle to protect himself, shooting his uncle in the chest and killing the man. My son defended himself, the teen's mother said. It could have been the other way around. It could have been my son that I'm picking up and having to bury. But it wasn't. The youth is not being charged, as the investigation revealed he fired in self-defense. The boy's mother said this is not the first time the uncle had acted in a menacing manner toward her family, but it was the last. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're blood or not. If you're going to cause harm to me to the point of death or something, I'm going to defend myself.
And, you know, it doesn't say it explicitly in the article, but it gives the impression that this uncle was the mother's brother. That's just what the conclusion I'm drawing. Obviously, it doesn't say it specifically. And let that be a message to all y'all out there. A mother does not care who you are if you're trying to harm her child.
The most dangerous place is between you and a mother's child. I said that wrong. Between a mother and her child. If you're in between it, forget it. It's the most dangerous place. All right, story number three. Two armed men who targeted the home of an 84-year-old in Ohio probably thought the victim would let let them do what they wanted and leave. Instead, after one of the interlopers shot the homeowner in his side, the wounded resident grabbed a gun and exchanged gunfire with the culprits. It was unclear if either of the robbers was hit, but having a gun at hand saved the 84-year-old and his grandson, who had crawled out a window onto the roof to protect himself. Let's see, on that one, 84-year-old...
Should have gone and gotten the gun first.
Should have got the gun first, but I'm trying to see if it actually said that he heard a noise or he was just confronted. Anyway, if you hear the noise, ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. Grab your firearm and then investigate if you have to. Because if you go after, if you investigate and find out you need a gun and you don't have it, you're going to be screwed. So
he did send his grandson to safety first.
So I think it all worked out. Okay, those are three stories in real life of how to defend yourself. So take notes what to do and what not to do in situations like that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you my opinion piece for the week. Had a situation happen this last week, and it's spurred this opinion piece. And it's titled, Sometimes Stuff Happens. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes stuff happens. But how we respond to that stuff is what really matters. How we respond is a snapshot of our life experiences and how we have matured or have failed to mature. All kinds of stuff can happen. Things can happen because they're planned, and things can happen when they're unplanned. Sometimes, when you think nothing will happen due to proper planning, the fluke of an accident will happen. Stuff that happens while being planned is not really a big deal other than it went as planned. A meteor striking your house and destroying it is unplanned, but the response to that would probably be, that was awesome. Okay. It's the fluke accidents that test our maturity. The accident that no one thought of or expected. The accident that went contrary to all plans and thought processes. The accident that can catch us off guard and open a door to our personalities that show a side of us that no one likes. The true inner self. Yikes. Just recently, I was witness to a fluke accident. I know the people involved and I'm quite familiar with their personalities. Because of that, I was watching the scale balance between them losing it and keeping their composure, and I must say I was truly impressed. All parties involved kept their cool, talked kindly with each other, and resolved the situation in a courteous, professional manner. It was a great illustration of working together through stress. I wish all fluke accidents could be handled like this. A person who has not had many life experiences may not handle it as well. So ladies and gentlemen, to all of us who have been around a while, hopefully we can show by example how to handle potential conflict in a mature and peaceful way to those who may not know. An accident is just that, an accident. A fluke accident is just an accident that caught us more off guard than the first. Either way, we can all work through it and carry on with life. Life is too short to stress over that which we have no control. Just roll with the punches. All right, Trey, with that, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, and we're going to talk guns and when you can own them and possess them and so on and so forth, et cetera, et cetera.
This last segment was brought to you by Clem McKeska's Barbecue in Cameron.
Ladies and gentlemen, Clem McKeska's has a long history of great-tasting barbecue in the Central Texas area. But did you know that Cameron has its very own Clem McKeska's Barbecue? Located inside the Hilltop CEFCO right next door to the KMIL studios. Not only does Clem McKeska's have excellent barbecue, but absolutely delicious fried catfish and burgers that will make your mouth water. Eat in or drive through? Need to pre-order? No problem. Call Clem's at 254-697-6060. Clem McKeska Barbecue in Cameron inside the Hilltop CEFCO. Get your tender, finger-licking good barbecue and so much more from Clem McKeska's Barbecue in Cameron. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Not everyone believes in the same way or has the same customs and cultures as everyone else.
Vicki Goza of Marek Burns Label Funeral Home in Cameron talks about individual needs.
We can make everything very personalized. It's not a package A, a package B, or a package C. It's totally about the family and what their needs are.
Marek Burns Label Funeral Home in Cameron, serving Central Texas families since 1908.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Radio program September 8, 2018. I got that music especially for us, Revolution. Ross and I, man, we'll get on a topic and we're like debating it out and discussing heavy here and we're contrasting opinions. And then when showtime comes up, we're like, hey, man, what's going on?
and now you're asking me all these complicated questions right before the show. And I'm thinking, golly, I lost my phone and my computer and my bag. I don't have anything.
It's all right. We're going to work this out together.
And then you were talking about, it's been a while since I've been on the show. And then you were just now talking about all the things that happen, there's unexpected things, or flukes are going to happen.
There's a fluke.
I say you guys could come to my office any day of the business week, and you guys could see that it happens every day. He said sometimes. I say every day. Maybe several times.
Praying for you, man, that we cut down those flukes to a minimal amount. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's what we're going to do. I had a bunch of people. It's amazing. I get groups of questions. I think the good Lord's watching out over me. He's saying, okay, Matt, we're going to talk about this time, and he'll give me a handful of people who ask generally the same questions, and I go, okay, that's what you want me to talk about. And what it is, we talked about this last year, but we need to talk about it again. It's about the ownership of weapons, ages, and special oddity laws, and things of that nature. So we're going to basically talk about the basic and then go over the more complex about it.
Yeah, but look, this can roll over into some other subtopics that really aren't about the transfer of weapons, are more about possession and travel and out of state. And then we get into some federal, just
every one of those is going to be good because we got a good 25 minutes.
Well, no, I don't even think we're going to get there. So I'm saying, and if you have some of these questions that we don't cover, just email me and say, hey, what about this specific circumstance? Because sometimes those specific circumstances are ones that, don't get covered because we don't have time to cover every specific circumstance. So if you do, just make sure you holler at me by email. That's Benton@Watson.legal. Benton@Watson.legal. If you guys are listening, you guys know how to get a hold of Matt, and he can get a hold of me and ask me, or we can collaborate on some ideas. And if you want to call, you can call the office at 254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140. Call today.
And what I'd prefer you to call now, and let me give you the number that I want you to call on because I want to avoid this static problem. Give me a call at 254-697-4721. That's right here in the studio, okay? And we'll get you on if you got a question about ownership, possession, child, age, location, blah, 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 blah. This is going to go all over the planet in this segment, and we're going to need an hour, but we're going to do it in 25 minutes. So 254-697-4721. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't call, you're wrong. And I'll tell you why. Because a majority of you don't know the answer to these questions. So call up, ask your question, give an opinion. Anything bad goes to Trey. Okay? All the good stuff comes my way. Trey, make sure it's the good stuff. I'll be answering the phone. So, all right, here we go. My basic question was, what is the legal age you can own a firearm? It's a simple question with a complex answer. So why don't we hit that first?
The legal age at which you can own a firearm.
Right.
So there's not going to be, in my opinion, any restriction on that age. Okay, now you're going to talk about what is the use of you owning it. That's a different story. So my answer to that question would be that there's no specific age as far as the ownership. You said a while ago you disagree. I don't know why you would ask me that loaded question as the first question, but because it is a loaded question. But okay, my answer is going to be I don't think there's an age as far
yeah, but you showed
as ownership
me,
of the weapon.
You showed me right there in the law something that I don't really teach in my license to carry class. Like you had just mentioned, there's hundreds and thousands of laws. You don't know them all. You can't. It's impossible. Just like me, I break down my knowledge into a certain area to become as proficient as I can in it. But that was outside the realm of the license to carry bubble. So when you show it to me, I go, oh, I get it. But we got to clarify as to why we get it now so these people out here know.
That rule is, that I just showed you is an easy one to remember once you understand the foundation of it. Okay, so the one I showed Matt came and wanted the transfer firearm, the possession of firearm in the Texas Penal Code. And it basically says that you cannot transfer, sell to a minor without written consent of the parents. And we talked about that. I did a show with Rick Dodd. It was just me and him one day when you were out. And we spoke about the requirements to transfer a firearm to a minor. And the other one is if you give it, and I think the example that we gave, can I give my nephew, right, my shotgun for Christmas, okay? And I can't. I cannot even give it. I can't even gift it to him unless my sister were to give me consent, okay? And then let's say that I didn't want to give it to him. He wanted it, but I paid a lot of money for it. And I said, okay, man, I'll sell it to you for half the price because you're my nephew, right? If I sell it to my nephew, who's only 12 years old, if I sell it to my nephew, okay, my sister actually has to give me written consent. Okay, and so the basis for this is, right, a child cannot, has no, in the law, legally speaking, has no competency to consent to the making of a contract.
But they do have competency to decide what gender they want to be. Isn't that amazing?
God, where is this? I don't know what that has to do with
firearms. Out of
left
field,
so
man.
Here we're going, and then, whoop. Thanks, Matt.
Hey, you gotta
way to be on top of
it. Gotta keep it active, man. Gotta keep it moving.
I honestly thought he says, but they do have competency to own a firearm.
Giving my tendencies, I have no comment on being male or female.
Stick to the notes, man. Stick to the notes.
Okay, so here we go. So if I'm going to sell it, okay, then I've got to have a written consent from the parent, the guardian, the legal representative, whatever. All right? If I'm going to give it away, if I'm going to gift it, I just have to have consent from the parents. All right? And then we spoke about a lot of situations. Do not make me go into every single situation. Yes, you got to a child's got to be supervised, right, by a parent in some of these situations. But you know, when we're going hunting, right, given access to a firearm by a child. But what are your risks? Let's say you gave a firearm to a child without the consent of the parents. You're going to be in trouble for allowing a minor access to a firearm.
That is if something ever happened and they come down to find out how the
No, that's right? Not what the law says, right? We talked about the practicality and we talked about the weapon that you tried to get me to admit it was okay to have, the right that wouldn't fire if you locked this pin in place.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and I said, yeah, that's a good weapon.
I know, but nobody's going to know unless they did something stupid, right?
That's what I said. I said, it's not trespass unless you get caught. Right? Okay. So, all right. Well, but I'm just telling you, the law says that their mere access to the weapon, okay, a readily dischargeable firearm right there constitutes the crime. Okay. And so, yeah, I would just be careful. I would get consent regardless. Okay. I think the federal law is going to say that you got to be 21 to own a handgun. You got to be 18. For a regular firearm. Texas law is not going to be that way. They're just going to say, as far as possession and this is not as concerned, it's going to be 18. All right. These problems are going to come up, though, when, like you said, you're going to be trying to give a gift to a kid. You're going to be trying to give a gift or sell something to a child. It's another reason why you might want to have a trust. We talked about the trust on here. You can actually do a gun trust, right, to alleviate some of these problems. But another good reason for this is you could have a trust generally, just a general trust, and you could have a trustee, okay, that would be over that trust, and they would be in charge of the firearms until your child turned 18 or 21, okay? And those are going to comply with the federal law because it's going to be an inheritance or devise, right? You're not going to have any multi-interstate problems, or at least not as many. If you have a state that completely outlaws some kind of weapon, maybe you might run into some problems. But as far as those transfer laws across state, that's going to alleviate that because it's going to be an inheritance, a devise kind of issue, right? You're also going to avoid probate. People aren't going to see the weapons that you have that could help you. A lot of people don't want the government or anybody else to know what kind of weapons they have. Almost be, in other words, when you do probate, when you die and go to probate, I guess I didn't think about explaining this, but when you, this is one of those sub things, but I'll just tell you, when you die and go to probate, you got to do an inventory of your estate, a large inventory of your estate, and so that would require you to list your weapons specifically. Nobody wants to do that. Okay, and it would, what's the difference in having to do that and just registering your weapons with the government if it's already on file about what your weapons are with the county, which is the state? Okay, so a lot of people don't want to do that. That'd be another reason for advocating for a trust and having a trustee responsible for what happens to those weapons, right? Doesn't get any transfer in trouble to it, also qualifies. So you have that.
You know, you've talked about these trusts before, and every time you talk about it, I'm like, you know, that's a good idea. It really is. It's just, it takes people to go to action to actually get it done. But it sounds very, very good. It can keep a lot of trouble away from you by getting a trust.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about weapons and or even things, property that is a cause of liability or very valuable pieces of property, real estate, one of them for sure. But if we talk about planes and boats and things
now,
like that.
We didn't. This isn't a setup for promoting you, but I know you do that. That's one of your main functions is doing trust, right?
Yes, it is. But it's important to talk about the trust and the gun aspect because these are done all the time. And you know, I mean, how many friends do I have that has just a, not just a locker, but like a room full of weapons? They have an arsenal at their house. That's not the kind of thing that makes it easy on, right, an executor, because your wife or whoever, your wife doesn't want all those weapons, okay? Sorry, she doesn't want all of them. She may. I'm telling you how it generally works is it's usually one person wants that many, okay? And the other one's just like on a general need basis. I need a shotgun, a rifle, and a handgun. That's all I need, okay?
But there's a shotgun for this and then a shotgun for that.
I know. See, I'm not telling you it's wrong or something like that. I'm just making clear that a lot of times other members of the family are not as big gun enthusiasts as
I only need one shotgun for bird hunting. I only need one shotgun for home defense. I only need one shotgun for the truck. I only need one shotgun for the car.
See,
it all depends.
Yeah, I'm sure that that you're right. But nobody else is going to, not nobody else, but, you know, I'm talking generally speaking. In the family, right, there's probably going to be some folks, probably it's usually a wife, not always. Like I said, I don't mean to.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of snowflakes out there now, so who knows? Woman may be in charge now.
Well, regardless, it's usually one spouse.
254-697-4721.
He's just trying to get you guys riled up and all in. So it's just about one spouse usually not wanting as many as another, okay? And it comes hard on them to figure out how to transfer it, this and that, but you could put somebody over that in charge of that where it would be easier to deal with, much easier to deal with. You wouldn't have to go through probate and get permission to sell it and stuff like that either. It'd be a whole lot easier. Or, we talked about too, you're going to have federal laws involved, right, in the transfer of firearms, and so that would be another reason to do a trust. You could lay out, right, in the trust the requirements instead of having, right, your wife or whoever your representative is later to go figure it out, okay? And some of those things are going to be, can't be under protective order, right? Can't be a felon, can't be a fugitive from justice, can't be, right, addicted to alcohol or drugs, or currently like a person who is suspicious of being on such. You can't be convicted of family violence. You can't, you got to be a citizen of the United States, and never renounced your citizenship. You got to, you cannot have been dishonorably discharged from the military. And there's a few others. What am I missing?
Are you familiar with this? I'm asking because I'm ignorant to it. Other than honorable, would that disqualify you? Or is it specifically because we're always talking legal terms? If you were dishonorably, then you can't.
Why would it?
Other than honorable means they're not.
Yeah, other than honorable. No, so I believe that the federal law is dishonorable discharge.
Okay, so the key word, so even if you did have that, based on what we're reading right now, you'd be eligible.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, which, yeah. Okay. You're talking about the middle ground when they don't give you a dishonorable, but they
don't
give you honorable.
I know when I've given you examples, you say if I have to go to what the law says. So I just want to clarify that that's one of those situations.
I don't have that one. I don't have that rule in front of me. But yeah, I would. I think I'm pretty sure that rule says. But I'm pretty sure.
I would think it would be too, because otherwise they would say it.
Okay. You also asked me a question. Actually, you asked me, and I didn't see it until today. So that was my bad. But. I didn't see the question, can somebody in the military, right, get their LTC and at the same time not be able to get carry LTC?
Can I reiterate that question, because I want to make sure that it gets out the way I want it to, and then you can answer it. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a segment in License to Carry. It allows an individual who is active duty or in some type of military reserves, National Guard, if you're 18 to 20, you can't buy a pistol, okay? But the law says if you're in the military from 18 to 20, you can go ahead and get a license to carry and carry a weapon. So technically, you can't buy a handgun until you're 21.
That's not true. You can buy a handgun by a private sale.
I didn't get there yet. Okay. So here you are. You cannot go out there and buy a handgun. However, you can go and buy a public sale, but technically... if they're buying a handgun from somebody between the ages of 18 and 20, that's illegal. Unless it was given by a parent with consent, but then you're over that 17-year age mark. See that little gray area?
That's only going to apply if they're under 18 years of age, okay? So,
well, let's stick between 18 and 20 then. They can't buy a handgun, and they can't buy a handgun.
They can buy it by private sale.
But that's illegal, isn't it?
How is it illegal?
Because you have to be 21 to buy a handgun.
On the federal level, but the state level is gonna apply to transfers, and that federal one is probably only gonna apply to somebody with that license. I think between family members, you can have a transfer. So you could have a private sale, in my opinion, of a handgun.
That's interesting, because I promote it as though,
and you should. And,
I think my way would maybe. My way maybe have a couple flaws in
so
it.
You can't. You telling me I can't give a minor my nephew. I can't give him my .22 pistol
for use for possession.
If I give it to him, he owns it.
Now you're getting technical again. My point is, you can't give it to him. It's your gun now.
What's
you
the difference? What's the difference if in the parent giving written consent and them owning it? Okay, and somebody owning it that didn't need parental consent.
But that was 17 or younger.
So you're telling me if I give my nephew the firearm, the handgun, and the parent signs off on it, as soon as they become 19, it's illegal?
All right, if we're
it's legal. It's legal up until it's legal from the time they're 10, right? But then as soon as they hit 19, it becomes illegal?
Well, then let's clean it up then. If you can get a license from 18 to 20 because you're in the military, why can't you legally, federally, state-wise, go to academy or go to ANC Firearms?
I thought your question was because it's a federal firearms dealer.
So then why won't
they? It's a licensed dealer. From a licensed dealer.
And it's a state license? That's why?
I don't even think you could get it from a state licensed dealer, but you could get it from party-to-party private sale. Now, I don't know the answer to that question for sure, but I'm confident that would be the answer.
See, I'm learning something here because... like I said, what you're teaching is...
And like I said, my truck was locked and I couldn't get my stuff. So I'll have it if you want me to. If you want to ask me a specific question, I'll cite you the law to it.
I see what it is right there. I just felt it was kind of conflicting. But now you're putting some light on it where a soldier or a airman or whoever, whatever branch of service you're in, and you're 18 to 20 and you can't buy a pistol until you're 21, but you can get a license. It seems like it's contradictory. Why can't, if you're going to defend this nation, if you're going to have access to a LTC, why can't they go and buy their own pistol at a store?
Which is what I was trying to tell you. I didn't understand the exact nature of the question, too. When you think about a peace officer, wouldn't it be the exact same issue?
Yeah.
I think.
Unless he's being issued a department weapon, then it's on loan and he's in possession of it, but he's not in ownership of it. But you're going to say you can own it if it's given to you. I'm trying to keep it clean and simple because I don't want anybody getting in trouble. So if you have a license to carry, I felt it was kind of weird. A soldier or whoever, 18 to 20, can serve and defend, but they can't actually go buy a handgun, but they can get the license. Like, great, I got a license, but I can't.
I would say there would be a problem for them going and buying a handgun just at a store or something.
But they can go to a gun show because it's state of Texas, personal transfer.
Maybe. they could definitely buy a handgun from their brother.
Okay.
Don't just get their brother to go to the show and buy it, and they buy it from their brother.
You're on your own. You're on your own. 254-697-4721. Give us a call here with some questions. Let me see what else I had on
here. Or put it in trust and then have somebody that's 21 years old and then constantly loan it out whenever they need it.
What's the proper way for somebody who's not 21 and doesn't have a license to be able to use a handgun, transport it, take it someplace? What's the deal on that?
I would say there wouldn't be a problem, okay, if it was concealed. That's going to be the issue. At what point can you get your LTC? And that's what the whole issue is with your question is, right? Whereas somebody that was under 21 would not be able to be licensed to carry, okay, their handgun.
Would you not think the probability is very good if a police officer pulls over an 18-year-old and he's got a handgun concealed because your vehicle is your premise with certain conditions, and one of the conditions is if you have a handgun in there, it must be concealed. So
if he's got the license to carry, though, what is the officer going to do?
No, he doesn't have a license to carry.
Okay.
But anybody can carry a weapon in their car as long as it's concealed. This is not talking about long guns. This is strictly talking handguns. If it's going to be in your car, it can be right next to you. It can be locked and loaded, but it must be concealed. But now if a law officer stops a guy or a gal and they're 20, 19, 18, and they've got a handgun, don't you think they're going to like have a lot of problems?
Well, that's why you keep it in the console and don't tell them that it's in the console.
Jeez.
And so if he's not licensed to carry, he's not required to tell the police
that's
officer
right,
anything.
That's true, but what happens if for some reason the officer believes he's got probable cause and he does and he wants to search the vehicle?
What's he going to charge him with?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Minor
you.
In possession of a weapon?
But it should be legal because you're saying he can have possession of it.
There could be a private sale between 18 and 21, right? And then if they're under 18, they could have parental consent.
He may get off the charge, but he may have to go for the ride, right?
I don't know. If he's under 18, you're gonna have an issue about.
I would think that'd be a major concern, especially in the day and times that we live in.
I mean, I would think it would be nothing more than the parent calling up there and saying, "This transfer was by private sale. Here's written consent. If he buys it when he's 19,
see, that would be a saving grace right there, like you discussed, because I never knew about that signing.
And that's why I said with Rick, I said no matter what kind of gift, whatever, any kind of transfer, I didn't care if it was a sale or a gift, okay, or advice, I didn't care. You need to have written consent.
Let's take it, Trey. Let's see what we got. We got a phone call. Let's see if this is pertaining. Welcome to the show, Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Who we got on the line?
Hey, this is Squirrel. I got a question about this.
Squirrel, how you doing, buddy?
I let my 17-year-old grandson or son drive my truck, and I've got a .45 in the console. Cop pull him over, do a search, find the gun. Now you got a minor in possession of a weapon. Besides charging the child, are they going to charge me because I've let a child have a gun that's not locked up?
So if he's too old. No, it's not. There's not going to be a charge of minor in possession of a weapon. Okay, it's either going to be unlawful or lawful, right? And if he's got a firearm and he's 17 years old, in my opinion, that's not going to cause any problems. You're not even going to have access to a weapon by a minor because 17 years old doesn't fall within the 16 year range. So you're outside there being any problem even to access.
Okay, wait a minute. Now I'm confused. Can you give a very easy, quick example of a child, a minor in possession of a weapon?
Okay. It's if the firearm is readily dischargeable and the age is, I think it's up to 14. I think it's 14.
Wow, this is...
Okay, so...
Go ahead, Squirrel.
They have to be under 14 to be 14. Considered younger. Okay. Because, you know, you're still a minor at 15, 16, 17 in the state of Texas.
Hey, Squirrel, was that a hypothetical situation or did it actually happen?
No, it's just hypothetical. I was listening to what y'all were talking about. And basically, you're talking the same thing they did in the 70s with alcohol. And 18 years old in the military, you can die, but you can't buy a beer. Now you're 18 years old in the military, you can have a license, but you can't buy the gun. And then I got thinking when you were talking about the kid driving the vehicle and the law about the guns have to be locked up, not available to a minor. Well, now I keep guns in my truck all the time because they are locked up, but it's a kid's a minor and he's driving my truck. Now I've got a minor with an unlocked weapon.
So generally, child means someone. It changes all the time, but child's going to mean someone younger than 18. Minor's going to mean someone younger than 17. Under the access to readily dischargeable firearm statute, I thought it was younger than that, but it could be just 16. Okay, so but if he's 17 years of age and he's driving, you're not even going to have that kind of problem. But even if it was just the firearm, as long as it was not readily dischargeable. But again, I go back to they've got to have supervision, right? If they're doing some kind of hunting activity and in those kinds of cases, and you could have endangerment of a child, right? That's going to be probably younger than 17 as well. I don't think you're having any problems if you've got a 17-year-old. You just need to have written consent from the parent if you're going to sell it to him or even give it to him.
Okay, let me ask something, Ross. I may be putting you on the spot with this.
I don't remember the age right now. For some reason, it's my memory.
We got all these different ages going on. In your opinion, in your experience, what could be the most minimal way to say this that will get you out of the gray zones of all these different ages and laws? What would be the most protective thing you could do at the least level?
Which is why I was emphasizing getting the written consent of the parent. Getting the written consent of the parent. Okay, that's probably the best thing you could do.
So, like, in other words, if I've got a short barrel rifle, I've always got to have the paperwork with it. So if I'm going to be a child in that particular age category, age bracket, and I've got this weapon of possession, I should have maybe that letter of transfer?
Which is another reason why I emphasize doing the trust, right, and having ID cards.
Yeah,
you could have the ID cards, and you could have the name of the trustee on there with the phone number, right, and have the model of the weapon.
Okay. Hey, Squirrel, did that answer your question?
Yeah, bro. It's just more complicated. That's all.
To answer your question, I don't think you have a problem. He's 17 years old, right? He's 17 years old. Okay, you're not going to have access to a firearm by a minor. All right, that's not going to come into play. You're not going to have endangerment to a child. That's not going to come into play. Okay, and
this was totally hypothetical. Okay, it wasn't something that happened.
Oh, I know.
But, I mean, you get a driver's license at 15 or 16 in the state of Texas. So what happens if you're 15 or 16 in that situation?
If you're going down to 15, I think you're getting into some area where if it's your gun and you're leaving it in the car, you're getting into an area that could get you into trouble. Okay, if the age is 16, which I can't remember off the top of my head right now, and I'm sorry for that, right, but I am human, right, if that's the age, then yeah, I wouldn't leave any of my weapons in the car with the kid.
I'll tell you what, everybody, I'm going to research this some more just so I can say a few sentences that may be safe for everything. My initial reaction would be this. To protect yourself, be at least 18 if you're going to be carrying a handgun, because you can transport it, be in possession of it. You can't technically buy it from an FFL. But supposedly you can buy it from a transfer of the gun to it as a gift. But at least from 18 to 20, you're covered as compared to being a minor in possession. All right, Squirrel, thanks for the call. I'm going to get you off the line in case somebody else wants to call in. All right, so I'll tell you what, we're running down the clock. Unless you come in with something else, I wanted to ask you about this too. I had questions on gun-free zones. What are they? How do they pertain to you? Somebody with an LTC. You want to give some insight on that?
Well, do you have a question? It'd be easier to answer.
Okay, I've got somebody driving down the road, and they see a sign on the side of the road. It says gun-free zone, and they go, "You mean I got a license? Can I go there?" It has nothing to do with you having a license. It has to do with
if you get in trouble, right? You're going to have an enhanced penalty.
Right. So let's say
right,
you did
for the crime that you do within that area.
Right. So if you did a crime and it was a Class B misdemeanor within a gun-free zone, then it just bumped up to a Class A misdemeanor.
Okay, it's the same as a drug-free zone.
Yes.
Okay, so if you have, now I told you, when you started arguing, I was like, well, what are you talking about? Okay, so you're going to have places, though, that are statutorily off limits, right, for firearms. And I'm not going to go into the very specific requirements about what is a building and what is not a building.
Well, it's very definite what it is.
I know, but there's little things like that. So, like, there's a difference. If you're, say, in a parking lot with LTC versus mm-hmm. if you're In the building.
That's right.
Okay, and it says premises.
Does not include sidewalks, walkways, parking lots, or garages.
Okay, so you can be creeping along the sidewalk, right, and not be on the premises, okay?
That's right.
But, you know, there's certain things like that I'm not going to go into. But, right, it would be, if a drug-free zone, if I had possessed marijuana in a place I shouldn't be, right, the penalties would be enhanced. But at the same time, that even though gun-free zone doesn't necessarily mean you can't have guns there, right, it may cross over, okay? There may be overlap. So if you got a whole school campus, right, that says it's a gun-free zone, yes, you may be able to have your LTC within the parking lot, you know, which is technically a gun-free zone, okay? But in the building, you can't carry your weapon, which is also a gun-free zone.
Okay, let me help out on this. Ladies and gentlemen, there are 10 places you can't go if you have a license to carry, okay? There's two bonuses, and I teach this in my class all the time. If you can burn into your brain, into your memory, those 10 places and those two bonuses, then all you have to do is look for a sign that says you can't go into this particular place. One of those places you need to burn into your head is schools, okay? You can't go into a school, one of these elementary schools, private schools, with a weapon. Forget it. Now, when it comes to state and private colleges, it all depends on what those schools want to do. If you can go into certain places, you can't. So the basic question that was given to me about gun-free zone was somebody was driving down a road and they saw the sign. So they're thinking, can I not drive down this location? What happens if I get stopped but I have my license? So when you get out of your car, if you're driving down the road and you see a gun-free zone, don't sweat it. But if you get out of your car and you happen to go into a particular building, we're always going to look for 30-06 or 30-07 signs. When you see those signs, that means the owner doesn't want you there with a handgun concealed or open, depending on which sign they put up. If there isn't a sign, you just have to remember those 12 places and say, is this one of those 12 places? That's what I teach my students. The first thing you do when you get somewhere, if you're doubting yourself, go, is this place on my list of 12? If it's not, then I just have to look for a sign. Does the sign say 30-06 or 30-07? If it doesn't, I'm good to go. What are you doing?
Well, I was just going to check out your text.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what. We're going to have to close it up because we got to take commercial break here. Anything you want to wrap up here? Tell them how to get a hold of you. Tell them about the trust, so on and so forth.
If you guys are going to transfer a weapon, just go to Matt. Right? Have him do a bill of sale. Okay? And then if he's got a problem, he's going to call me or somebody else. Right? That's going to get you the right answer.
Because here's why that works. The gun that you have in your possession, when you give it to me, I put it in my book. As soon as I put it in my book, that gun belongs to me now. Okay? Once I transfer it over to somebody, they do the proper paperwork on a 4473. They check out, it's good to go, and everything's fine. The only problem is, if you're transferring it over to somebody who's under 21, then I can't do it unless it's a rifle or a shotgun. Rifle or a shotgun, it's 18 to 20.
And if that happens, go see probably a lawyer or follow what we're telling you to do. You can do a private sale. Just make sure, if you don't want to get a lawyer involved, just make sure you get written consent from the parents.
Okay.
In my opinion, that's going to get you out of a lot of trouble. And at that point, even if they possess the firearm, now the authorities, if there was something to happen, if there was some problem, now the authorities are going to look to the parents. You knew he had this firearm. You gave written consent for the transfer. It's on you. Okay? It's not on the person who originally sold
it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense.
Okay, so now in that area between 18 and 21, right, my opinion is you can have a private sale. You can own a handgun, but go ahead and if you think you've got one of these problems, come by and see me. Or like I said, email me at benton@watson.legal, benton@watson.legal. Just make sure you leave your phone number, okay? Or come see me at 105 East Main here in Cameron.
Okay, always a great conversation. Learn a lot. That was all over the board on some aspects of it, but, you know, we're going to cover it, and we're going to try and make it easy to understand.
And maybe listen next week. I'll have the age down. Sorry for not being able to remember the,
not, yeah, well,
the
at
age.
At the beginning segment next
for
week,
some
let's
reason,
clarify
just,
that up a
my
little.
My mind is not working. I'm ready for that Clemson A&M game.
Hopefully next time somebody won't bring gender politics into it.
Oh, stop. All right. Ross, thanks. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Trey, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have the delicious Janae Goodman.
Some kind of way out of here.
Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yacht equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Can you fill that? Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabin Venture Radio Program, September 8th. We had a little problem there for a second. September 8th, 2018. I want to go over our topics of interest here before we get Janae on. Got a lot of things coming up. Yesterday was the first Friday of the month, and we had our twofer night. Lots of people coming in, so that was a good time. First Friday of every month is twofer night. You come with somebody, and that somebody shoots. The range time is free. Today, at 2 o'clock, I've got my license to carry class. Got a lot going on in here, man. Okay, today at 2 o'clock, I got my license to carry class. It's pretty full. I might have one spot left. Somebody canceled out. So if you're thinking about taking your license or getting a refresher, you can give me a call and we'll get you plugged into that class. September 14th, the second Friday of the month, that's going to be next Friday, is our next round robin. And we've got an awesome prize for this one. We've got a AR 15 and 300 blackout. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, go to the Instagram, check out me with a short video of it, and you'll get to see what kind of gun is up for grabs. So it's a lot of fun. You get some great training, and if you're good enough that day, you might walk away with a good prize. September 21st, the third Friday, is ladies' night. If you're a woman or identify as one, range time is free. So come on out there and take advantage of that. October 27th, next and last self-defense and home invasion seminar for this year that I'll be setting up. That doesn't mean you can't set your own up, but that's the last one I'll be setting up, is October 27th. That's the next one, and it's the last one for this year for the self-defense and home invasion seminar. And if you don't know what it entails, go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the High Cap Adventure page, and look at the flyer and show us all that we have available. I'll be talking about it. And I need, it's limited to 15 people. First come, first serve. It's pay in advance. It's locked in. And I would do it quick if you're going to do it, because it's the last one and people are going to want to get in on it. Okay, so got a lot going on. Get your calendars open. Write all this stuff down. And I'll mention a couple of things a little bit later on. Trey, let's go straight into Janae. And right after Janae, we're going to have the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon.
Good morning, my lovelies. We're in the depths of hurricane season, so to make sure that you don't get rocked too hard, I want to help you out with some tips to keep you safe. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. Hurricanes here in Texas are more common in August and September. Just because the season is nearly over doesn't mean you shouldn't be prepared. Taking time to make sure you have essential food and backup supplies can make an extraordinary difference in your comfort and survival. First and foremost, water is a non-negotiable. There's no way to tell how long things will be awry. Bottled or distilled water should be used for drinking and cooking. You'll want to plan for at least 5 gallons per person. Here are a few things you'll also want to keep in mind when storing food for a hurricane. Make sure your food choices are non-perishable and involve very little to no cooking. Go crazy with canned and dry goods. You don't want anything that'll spoil or anything that'll take a ton of preparation. Other handy snacks include peanut butter, assorted nuts such as peanuts and cashews, and fish or chicken vacuum pouches. Store-bought granola and protein bars are inexpensive and they can tide you over if rations are tight. Keeping items such as crackers and dry pasta on hand can prove to be useful as well. Dehydrated snacks such as fruits, vegetables, and jerky are wonderful in a pinch. Dry or shelf-stable milk such as almond or soy work well along with cereals. Nutrition content is an important factor as well. Customize it for your personal needs and consult your doctor or dietitian if you have any health-related dietary restrictions. Overall, you're going to be looking for high protein and balanced carbs and fats in your diet. Sometimes we get so caught up in making sure that our families are safe that we forget about our pets. Make sure you have extra rations and supplies stocked up for your animals as well. Let's take a minute to discuss some necessary kitchen tools. My top recommendation, if you don't already have them handy, buy a manual can opener and a knife. All those canned goods don't really do you any good if you can't open them. If you have the chance to invest in a butane stove, please do so. And be sure to buy backup fuel. This is usually one of the first items to disappear off the grocery store shelf, so do yourself a favor and buy one before the emergencies arise. If they aren't available, look for an emergency or folding stove. It's basically a sterno underneath an aluminum frame. You can probably make your own. They're very compact, maybe about 10 ounces altogether, and the model I've stumbled upon actually only cost about $3. Unfortunately, the stove doesn't have a tin pot, but you can purchase it separately, and they work great for small meals. Do your best to source Strike Anywhere or waterproof matches. If that's not an option for you, have a stick lighter on hand at the very least. Lastly, make sure your fire extinguisher is up to date and ready to use. Much like natural disasters, emergencies can be unpredictable. I urge you to be prepared for even the worst circumstances. What's typically the biggest concern during a big storm? I'd say blackouts are pretty high on that list. If you're worried about perishables going to waste, an ice pack cooler or insulated bag can stand in place of refrigeration for a few hours. You can use them to store meats or small essential perishables. If you lose power, check the temperature of your items in your fridge. Foods should not be salvaged if they are in temperatures higher than 41 degrees for more than 2 hours. Sometimes evacuations are necessary, and we may return home and ask if the power went out. If you plan to skip town, you can try this neat trick to help you answer just that. Place a coin on top of an ice cube. This can be on top of a filled ice tray or frozen container of your choice. If your power goes out, the ice will melt and your coin will sink. If you come back and your coin is still sitting atop your ice, well, chances are your electricity was just fine. It's often understood that hurricanes can bring lingering devastation, and that goes well beyond physical damage. Check your local government programs to see if there are any emergency food stamps or emergency pantries available. Now is the time to get things together. Once a hurricane is prepared to hit, items go flying off the shelves. If you ask me, there's no such thing as being too prepared. If you can't do all of your emergency shopping at once, take care to stock up over time. If you fail to prepare, prepare to fail. Got a question about this or any other topics? Shoot me an email at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com. If you happen to miss last week's feature about apples and why they're so great, catch it at thecultivatedclassroom.com. Enjoy your week. Don't forget to join me next Saturday. And until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you've had a great week. This week has been great. We've had rain. We've had a little bit of cooler weather, and people seem to be in a little bit better mood this week. You know, the sun has been out today, and it's really going to be one of them nice humid days. Great day for football if you're going down to the A&M game. See if Clemson can get even with them. Also, it's a good day to do something with your family today. So get out with your family, enjoy yourself, because that's the root of all happiness is doing things with your family, with your kids. You know, I'm going to weigh in a little bit on that conversation that was said earlier. I think Squirrel called in about a question about a 45 caliber being in your gun, or in your car, rather. You know, if anybody has any common sense, or the police officer has any common sense, and the kid's not doing anything wrong, I don't believe you're going to have an issue. The other thing is, you know, you're not going to find a 15-year-old that's going to have a driver's license without an adult in the car. And so I think that, you know, I would hate to think that there would be a police officer out there that would give a kid a hard time because he's driving his pawpaw's or his dad's car, truck, and there's a gun in there that doesn't even belong to him. I know there's some out there that will, but that's not the kind of police officer you want to employ in your department or your city if that's the case. Now, if the kid's doing something stupid, that's a different situation, but it doesn't look like that. Give you the example of what happened. This past Saturday, After the radio show, I'm sitting in my house, and I get a call from my son. And want to tell me about my grandson was down fishing on one of the canals down just outside of Galveston. Goes there every day, goes in after school, goes on the weekends fishing. Well, he and one of his buddies, and both these kids, and I know people say this before, they're good kids, and they don't know. These two boys, all they live for is fishing, fishing and hunting. Well, they're down there fishing, and they get their catch done, and it's just right after lunch, and they clean their fish, and then they take the insides and the heads, and they throw them back in the canal where the alligators come up and the other bottom dwellers eat on them. Well, while they were doing that, this guy in a big old Ford pickup truck came up to him and started giving him a hard time, said they were on his property, which it wasn't. It was next to a boat ramp, and it was public property. And the guy started, obviously he was intoxicated, and he started threatening them. Well, the boys had enough sense to get in their truck and was taken off. Well, the guy started chasing them. And as he was chasing them, he pulled out a pistol and laid on the dashboard. The boys got a little bit more worried. They got their speed up a little faster than what they should have, going through some areas of the southeast. And they ended up, one of them had enough sense to get on the phone with the police department in that area and the sheriff's department in that area, Galveston County, and told them what was going on. The sheriff's department caught up with them. And before they could, the old boy in the pickup truck pulled up next to him and pointed a gun right at him. Alcohol and guns don't mix, folks. Needless to say, the guy who was chasing my grandson and the other young boy ended up going to jail with about four different criminal charges placed against him. You know, you got to have common sense no matter what you do if you're going to carry a firearm. Alcohol and firearms don't mix, and we've said that before, and I'll say it again. If you're going to do something, you're going to do it right. You got to do it right. So with that being said, what I'm going to talk about today is I'm going to ask you, is your child safe? Is your grandchild safe? Over the last few weeks, the news has been riddled with incidents that have shown young people or children as being the victims of crime and tragedy. You know, it's a real tragedy that we hear so much about injuries to children and about children that have been abducted, missing, or found dead along some rural or outlying area of town. Just this past week here in the Central Texas region, there's been one child that died left in a car. There have been a couple of missing children from over the western part of Bell County. You know, and it just goes on and on. You hear about the news about the adults that have abused the children. So this is becoming more common if we listen to the news. However, there are certain things and responses that parents, grandparents, or even guardians can do to prevent their children. Rearing children is not an easy task, folks. It's important that we adults do everything we can to protect the youth of today. That's your job. That should be your legacy. It doesn't make any difference whether they're 2 days old or 17 years old, they're still our children. Or 35 years old, they're still our children. I personally still think of my grown adult sons as my children that hurt when they hurt. When their life's in upheaval, it affects everybody. I can't imagine, and I hope you don't have to ever go through this, the loss of losing a young child to an accident, criminal event, or anything as a matter of fact. For that reason, what I want to talk about today is that what we can do as a society, parents, and the police to protect the young of today. And I want you to take a few minutes to consider each of the following situations in protecting young persons of today. Have you ever had a lost child, or have you ever thought your child was lost? A lost child is a scared child, and usually their first instinct is to begin searching for their family. Train your children to stop and sit down as soon as they realize they're lost. Wandering around is not going to do a bit of good for them. Assure them that no matter how scared they might be, people are out looking for them, searching for them right now. Consider equipping your child with an inexpensive cell phone and when venturing outdoors, a few survival items tucked in their backpack or their pocket. You know, I used to be very anti, and I mean just extremely anti-cell phone for young kids. But, you know, if your child is old enough to be out in the woods by themselves or old enough to go hunting with you and you put him in a tree stand or you put him somewhere, he's old enough to have some type of communication device with him. If you don't want to give him a cell phone, buy him one of those Walmart $49.95 two-way radios that come in sets. Carry one, you carry one. Items such as a whistle or a bandana or things of that nature that the kids can carry with them. Make sure they have a bottle of water if they're going to go out. It's kind of like a survival kit for kids. Usually the best strategy is not to answer the door when the kids are home alone. So you need to teach them that too. You know, we used to, back in the days when I was with Temple, and we used to do a lot of the child safety programs, we used to teach a program in the schools called Stranger Danger. And I know that that has kind of gotten by the wayside, and not a lot of departments are doing that anymore because they're afraid they'll hurt somebody's feelings or become some patsies out there and going to make some issue about it. But if your police department in your city, your school is not teaching Stranger Danger, take the nerve, take the bulls by the horn, and you teach them that. Train your child to enforce home security when they're home by themselves. Keep the doors and the windows locked and blinds and curtains closed. Now, I know that this time of year, especially this time of year when we're starting to cool down just a tad and we're trying to save that $200 light bill, we want kids to make sure that they don't put the thermostat down to 40 or 50 degrees like I like to sleep in. But unfortunately, when they're home by themselves, folks, you need to teach them that they need to be secured inside their own home. Noise from a TV or a radio is fine. You know, let them keep that going so they think the home is occupied. Someone with questionable motives will think twice about entering a home if they hear noise even inside, even if the house is closed up and no one answers the door. And here is the one thing that I'm going to ask you to do. It is so important. From the age of just, I don't know how old, for old enough to pick up the telephone, teach them what 911 is. You know, I can't tell you how many kids call in on 911 just because they're scared and they're alarmed. 911 operators are trained to handle that. They're not going to get on your child for using it the wrong way, but they are going to tell them that they need to let mom and daddy know that they've called. Teach them how to use it to report an emergency, but this takes practice. Spend some time rehearsing those phone calls with them and what to tell them and how to tell them. Make sure that they understand that. If possible, your child should also get the home ready for arrival of EMTs if something happens. If you know that they're going to call the police, or if you know they're going to call a fire department or an ambulance for you or for themselves, teach them very, very, very from the very get-go that if you got dogs in the house, you need to put the dogs up. If you got something all the doors locked, to be watching for the EMS arrival, the police arrival. Summer, you know, is just over, and it's an ideal time for children, and should have been an ideal time for children to take first aid and CPR classes. I hope that each of you listening to this today knows how to teach a child to stop bleeding. I'm not talking about going in and teaching them how to use a tourniquet or something of that nature, but it might save your life, too, as a parent or a grandparent. Teach them about heart attacks. Teach them about reality. And you can do that from the age of 4 or 5 up. That one skill can help your child maybe avoid their own dangers, their own problems, and it can sure help you. You know, the one skill that can help your child to avoid many dangerous situations is to teach them about reality. Not what they see on video games, what they see on television, but about reality. The concept is simple for children to be aware of people and events around them. Not everybody around them is a good guy, and you need to teach them that. Now, I realize that we don't want to scare our children, and I don't want you to scare your child either. But there's a lot of people out there that ain't good folks, if you know what I mean. You need to teach them to stay away from people. You need to teach them to stay away from people that they don't know. And that's, once again, goes back to that old-fashioned stranger danger concept. Now, when driving in a car, for instance, ask your kids to describe a building or a vehicle that they might see. What are you doing when you do that? You're teaching them how to be observant. You're teaching your children how to start recognizing things. Ask them to explain it to you, the colors. Play a game with them by reading license plates on cars. That's an extremely important game that you can teach them for life skills for their future. Teach them to pay attention to the way they come home and how they come home. You know, I know this sounds really stupid and you think it's going to be elementary, and I apologize for this, but there have been several instances that I remember, especially when around a mall or a big gathering of people, when a child has gotten separated or lost from their parents. One of the things that first thing you do is, what's your mom and dad's name? Trey, you care to guess what they tell you? Mom,
yeah.
Dad. They don't know their own parents' names. They don't know their address. They don't know their parents' last names. They can't even tell you what their last names is, and Lord knows, their last name may be doubled over 5 times from their parents by now. So what you have to do is you teach your child to be able to describe where he lives, describe his address, his phone number. You can do that from 3 or 4 years up. You don't have to wait till they're old to do that. It's simple to teach, fun and practical, and quite possibly it's a lifesaver for them. Finally, folks, if the opportunity exists, find a location that is doing an Identichild program. Now you say, what is Identichild? Well, I don't know what it's called anymore, but there used to be a program that was out there where you could take your child and you could have fingerprints taken of your child, and those fingerprints are kept by the parents, and in the event of a lost child or something of that nature, and I know this sounds bad, it's not going to find the child right there, but God forbid, if they find a body or if they find a child that's whatever, you can identify them from their fingerprints. You keep the fingerprints, the police doesn't keep them. And, you know, we were talking just earlier about a program. There are some locales and some folks I know that have what they call chipped their child. Now, you say, what is that? Well, that's where you take a small microchip, doesn't hurt, embed it right under the skin, and all it does is when if something happens, the police, the law enforcement, medical professionals can scan that chip and not only talks about who they are, but their medical background. Now, one of the things that I will tell you this, when they turn to be adult age, that needs to be taken out. We're not here for Big Brother watching over you, but we are here to protect your child. You have something to add to that for me?
Trey was going to do something.
Yeah, low jack for kids.
Low jack for kids, exactly. That's exactly right. You'll protect your car. You'll put that in your dog. You'll chip your dog. You'll chip your car. But you won't chip your own child?
Yeah, Chief, as you were mentioning it, you know, we're looking at each other. I wanted to make sure everybody knows I'm totally opposed of spying on people, totally. But I consider my children, when they were 17 or younger, as my property, and I'm going to protect my property. And I told my boys, once you're 18, hey, I'm not in possession of you anymore. You're on your own. I can't protect you. So if I was to do it all over again, I might consider a chip, but and when they turn 18, it's out of there.
Right. And, you know, that's very controversial. I realize that. But, folks, you know, would you rather know when your kid is, especially if your kid's in danger? Now, like he said, when they turn 18, they're adults. They can make their own choices and decisions. But until that time, not only are you responsible for them, but you want to protect them. You know, it's like one of those things. If I've always told my kids when they were young, you know, you preach to them, you talk to them about drinking and driving, about going to parties. And I always told them, I said, if you ever go to a party and you get drunk or you get to the situation where you can't drive, call me. Not one word be said about the situation. But I would rather you come get me than have you drive alone. And that's kind of what we have to teach our kids about safety as well. When a child's missing, it's a traumatic event for everybody. Everybody's thinking about the police. Everybody's thinking about what's going on. Parents sometimes don't think straight. I wouldn't think straight. I didn't think straight when one of my sons was missing for about 3 hours. So, folks, you got to use common sense. You got to do a few things that are going to protect your children. You have got to get off your duffs, and you've got to teach them. They're not going to learn. What they learn on TV, what they learn in their video games is not going to protect them. What it's going to do is going to put them in peril. I'm not anti-video game. I'm getting there after I've seen some of the video games that have come out and ways kids are addicted to them and the things that they see that goes on. You know, we've had when I was growing up, Tom and Jerry, some of the Daffy Duck, things of that, those kind of cartoons. Turn on some Saturday morning and watch the cartoons on today. They're nothing about humor. They're nothing about a good, clean laughter. They're about things that we see happening in our country. So, folks, I'm asking you very carefully and very succinct, take time to teach your children. Take time to work with your children. And last but not least, folks, I wish you a great, great weekend. Dallas Cowboys play this Saturday. Want to take bets on who's going to win? Have a great week, everybody, and take care.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Ladies and gentlemen, Clem McKeska's has a long history of great-tasting barbecue in the Central Texas area. But did you know that Cameron has its very own Clem McKeska's barbecue? Located inside the Hilltop CEFCO right next door to the KMIL studios. Not only does Clem McKeska's have excellent barbecue, but absolutely delicious fried catfish and burgers that will make your mouth water. Eat in or drive through? Need to pre-order? No problem. Call Clem's at 254-697-6060. Clem McKeska Barbecue in Cameron inside the Hilltop CEFCO. Get your tender, finger-licking good barbecue and so much more from Clem McKeska's Barbecue in Cameron.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Vicki Goza of Mark Burns Label Funeral Home talks about the celebration of life.
Let's remember that loved one, their life, about the way they lived and what they embraced. Funerals are really about life. Our attitude is we need to remember this person by celebrating the life that they lived.
Call Mark Burns Label Funeral Home anytime. Serving Central Texas families since 1908. 254-697-3661.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, September 8, 2018, and we're in our product spotlight segment sponsored by ANC Firearms out in Heidenhammer. Arch is an awesome guy. He's the owner. I've known him for years. He's very consistent when it comes to his being courteous and helpful and generous, and he's always trying to help the customer out. He's got a great shop, great staff. Clint, Dennis, Mike, they got pistols, rifles, shotguns, holsters, knives, ammunition, accessories, the whole works. So we thank them very much for sponsoring this part of the show. Without them, it'd be much more difficult to do. It's the circle of life. You support them, they support me, you get some good info, and hopefully everybody's happy. Now, in this segment, you know from past shows, if you checked out the Facebook page at Aaron's Gun Shop, I promoted the Mossberg Shockwave in 12 gauge. And then I actually put my hands on the Mossberg Shockwave 410, and I fell in love with it. It's fantastic. It's perfect. And ladies, it is perfect for you. To the left of me at the moment, I've got Anna McKeska, the owner of Clem's McKeska's, and she's a petite young lady here, and this shotgun would be perfect for her. I mean, just it's, the size is just fantastic. The kick is minimal, but yet it's a very effective gun. Now, I usually try to find a review on the shotgun. I found a quick, brief one since I've done this before on the other ones. Not much changes on it, but I got this from the AmericanRifleman.org. It's by the staff writers, Mossberg 590 Shockwave, now in 410 bore. So let me read it, and then I'll show you some video pictures of it. Ever since the groundbreaking introduction of the 12-gauge 590 Shockwave at SHOT Show 2017, Mossberg has continued to expand the lineup with a 20-gauge, offering an additional 12-gauge models. Now, the company delivers the ultimate lightweight and low-recalling home defense platform with the announcement of the 590 Shockwave and 410 bore. This compact firearm features a 14-inch barrel length, Raptor pistol grip, strapped fore-end, impressive 6-round total capacity, and weighs in at a mere 4.25 pounds. Built on Mossberg's proven pump-action design, the gun features non-binding twin-action bars, positive steel-to-steel lockup, an anti-jam elevator, dual extractors, and ambidextrous top-mounted safety. The 590 also includes an anodized aluminum receiver, drilled and tapped for ease of adding optics, and magazine tube with convenient clean-out cap. The 410 bore, offering a 2.5-inch and 3-inch capable, features 14-inch heavy-walled cylinder bore barrel with a single bead sight and sling swivel studs. The Shockwave Raptor pistol grip, constructed of durable polymer, has an enhanced textured finish and bird heads shaped profile, allowing for greater control while lessening the felt recoil. And I'm going to talk about that too. The Cobb-style synthetic fore-end is strapped for safety, greater control, and smoother operation. The grip and fore-end feature a black finish and exposed metalwork, has a complementing matte blue finish. With an overall length of 26.37 inches, the BATF-E, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, has classified this compact 590 Shockwave platform as a non-NFA firearm. I'll explain that too. Requiring no tax stamp for transfers. Defined as a firearm, not a long gun, federal law does not require the purchaser of a 590 Shockwave to be 21 years of age. Woo! Okay, specifications real quick. It's a 590 non-NFA pump action. Gauges come in 12, 20, and 410, the one we're talking about today. On the 410, capacity is 6 shells. Barrel length, 14 inches. Heavy walled matte blue. Sights of bead. Choke cylinder bore. Overall length, 26.37 inches. 4-end stock finish. Shockwave Raptor grip cob 4M with the strap black. Synthetic strap, and approximately 4.25 pounds. Okay, so you can go to ANC Firearms. They got it on the shelf right now. This is a nice shotgun. The Shockwave 12 was fantastic, but I'm specifically looking at ladies for this one, or older people who want the shotgun but don't want the recoil of a 12-gauge but want the compactability of this type of firearm. It's not a shotgun. It's not a pistol. It's a firearm. Now, what I'm going to do for this, the video is probably going to be up on Tuesday. So I want to show you the 12-gauge first, and of course it's been checked, it's clear. Here's a 12-gauge. You'll notice that the barrel is thicker, the tube is wider, okay? But it's got the Raptor grip, it's got that Cobb fore-end with the strap, it's got the clean-out with the sling swivel studs on the front and the back, okay? So that's a 12-gauge. Now look at the 410-gauge. We've got it here, it's checked and cleared. It's the same freaking thing. But look at it. You can tell that the barrel's a little bit thinner. The tube is thinner for obvious reasons. It's the same thing. And when we put them together, that's the back, side profiles, grips. Awesome. So if you're heavy duty for home defense, somebody like me who can handle a 12-gauge or anybody, fantastic weapon. If you're a little bit more petite, Anna, come here for a second. I want to put you to work here. Anna McKeska right here. Let me stop it forward. She's a petite young lady, and look at the size of the gun. She can handle this thing. It's lightweight. She holds it properly. All the energy, thank you, all the energy is going to go out the weapon, or the back of the pistol grip. As I'm showing in the video here, what I normally like to show people, you're holding it like so, up against your hip, and you get your line of sight right, figure out the angle, and all that energy is going to go out the back of the grip. People say, oh, can you handle it? Of course you can handle it, because the energy is being thrown out this way. If you'll notice the Cobb grip here, I grab it, put my thumb over the top edge, and it keeps it from muzzle flip. So this is an excellent weapon for home defense, for a woman, for snakes, keeping in the truck for a little whatever, okay? Fantastic. So go to ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Give them a call at 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it on the show here. Support the sponsors who support me. Get yourself a Mossberg Shockwave 410. The other nice thing about it is this. Its overall length is 26 plus inches. A shotgun must have an 18-inch barrel. This is not a shotgun. It's a firearm based on the technical language from the ATF. So the barrel is only 14 inches. So if you're going to carry this in the house, look at that. I can turn corners without worrying about barrels sticking out on the side. Last thing you want is the enemy to grab your weapon because the barrel's sticking out. So check it out. Call ANC Firearms 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it. Support the sponsors who support the show. Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have the awesome Anna McKeska from Clem McKeska's, and we're going to talk all about it.
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Vicki Goza of Mark Burns Lewell Funeral Home in Cameron talks about being just a phone call away.
We are at a family's disposal 24/7. You don't get an answering machine. You may be talking with the family late at night or thought of something. You can pick up that phone and call and know that you're going to talk to one of us.
Call anytime, 254-697-3661.
You will feel like you are the only family that we're working with.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Bald Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Bald Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Ladies and gentlemen, Clem McKeska's has a long history of great-tasting barbecue in the Central Texas area. But did you know that Cameron has its very own Clem McKeska's barbecue? Located inside the Hilltop CEFCO right next door to the KMIL studios. Not only does Clem McKeska's have excellent barbecue, but absolutely delicious fried catfish and burgers that will make your mouth water. Eat in or drive through? Need to pre-order? No problem. Call Clem's at 254-697-6060. Clem McKeska Barbecue in Cameron inside the Hilltop CEFCO. Get your tender, finger-licking good barbecue and so much more from Clem McKeska's Barbecue in Cameron. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, it's September 8th, 2018, and we're at the interview segment. And I've got sitting to the left of me the awesome Anna McKeska, owner of Clem McKeska's Barbecue, the chain. You probably see them in Belton Temple right here in our very own backyard, right next door to the studio inside the Hilltop Safeco. Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for helping us, you know, sponsor the show, keeping us on the air.
Absolutely.
It's a circle of life.
Yes, it is.
And I could say who you are, but give us a brief description of who you are, your history.
Okay.
And I got tons of questions, and I know you've got things you want to talk about, some products here, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm Anna McKeska. I'm one of Clem's daughters. Clem has another daughter, Angela, our sister, Angela, and a brother, Stephen. So I'm part of the McKeska family, and at the restaurant, I guess a title would be do everything. And in the restaurant business, you really don't have a title. And if you're the owner, you have you do everything. So don't really have a specific title there other than get everything done. But, yeah, it's a part of the family and just happy to be here.
Well, it's great because when we started talking, I know you've got so many angles to discuss and so many different things that you offer.
Uh-huh.
One of my questions was, Clem's got brothers.
Yes.
And there's other Clem's out there, but yours seem to explode. What's the difference?
Well, I think, you know, all the brothers expanded in their own way, right? So some built other locations or expanded their locations, but to do as many stores at one time, we were the only ones to do that. And I think it was the fact that, you know, with my brother and sister and I, we just felt that growth was good. You know, we needed, you know, and to support all of our families, we felt that branching out was a good move. And we're glad we did it, and it's working out well for us.
Does each family member take a particular one, or is it a collective group?
Not so much. We kind of, it's kind of a group effort, you know. We all kind of have our departments. But one thing about it, without our staff, we couldn't do what we do. So our satellite stores, we have some amazing managers. At our Belton store, we have Eric, and he takes care of, I mean, that he's our go-to man. He takes care. And here in Cameron, Pam Campbell has been with us since we opened in 2007.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've been dealing with Pam for a while.
I mean, we can't do what we do without people like Pam and Eric.
Well, I want to mention, too, before we forget this, Pam here in the Cameron location, everybody, they got a special deal going on. If you buy any barbecue plate for regular price, you get the second plate for half price. That's a good deal.
That's a great deal. That's
so, I mean, think about it, guys. If you're hungry and you're buying a $10 plate or something, and you're like, man, I wish I had some more beef. Well, buy a second plate for half price.
That's right. Take it home, eat it tomorrow. Or just put it in the freezer, whatever. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's all good.
Before I inundate you with a bunch of questions, is there a bunch of stuff you want to get out first? I know you got some products here, or how do you want to do this? You got stuff hot on the iron here that you want to talk about?
No, we can go. However, one thing about that I want to take advantage of right now is the fact that our Cameron store not only offers barbecue, but we offer so many other different things too. Like, we have southern fried catfish. I don't know if anybody knew about that. We have our homemade burgers, which our patties are ground in-house in Temple. I mean, this is a real deal. And then we have our jerky, which is really good.
You need
if
to
you
bust
like
that
jerky.
Open and try
I know we're
going to
open this here in a minute. And then we have Clem's all-purpose seasoning. Now, this stuff right here, Clem developed it ever since he opened in 1965. Used to be called dynamite, but we changed it to all-purpose seasoning just so that, you know, nobody gets crazy
with
it.
Don't want the ATF coming in on this.
What? So anyways,
tell them what's not in it.
Oh, yeah, there's no MSG on it. It may say MSG on the label, but this is because I'm just using these labels up. But there's no MSG in it, and it is truly all-purpose. This stuff is so good. We ship it all over the country, literally. And phone calls every day. Can I get your seasoning? Can I get your seasoning? So stop in and get some of this stuff. This stuff you cook at home, it's going to make you famous. It won't make you as famous as Clem, but it's going to make you famous because it is damn good.
Does Clem really like posing for those pictures?
He loves it. Clem loves it, yes.
I know you got Clem money.
Clem cash, yes. Although the other day, he's so funny because he says a lot of funny stuff. He goes, you know, my picture's on those billboards and my picture's on this seasoning jar. He goes, y'all are going to get me kidnapped. And I was like, here's the deal. If they kidnap you, they're going to bring you back.
That's why you need to chip them and carry a 410 shockwave.
Clem, one of these. So in case he gets kidnapped, we'll get him back.
All right.
He's funny.
Hey, you know, I was thinking about this. Okay, Clem is how old?
88. He's going to be 89 at the end of the month, so y'all be sure and wish him a happy birthday.
I'm picturing this. There he is, you know, one day when he's a young man, and he's cooking, and somebody goes, "Yo, Clem, what you cooking?" "Oh, just some barbecue."
Yeah.
"Hey, that's pretty good. You know, you should go in business and sell that stuff." And bam, there it is.
Clem, you know, it kind of happened like that.
Well, tell us about it.
It really did. So back in the day, Dad and his family had, they always lived on a farm, okay? So they had this thing which was called a meat club where, okay, so different families would butcher a cow and they would share it because of course, there's not a whole lot of refrigeration back then. So they would kind of piece everything together and who, what family got what. And so his family would always be the one to do the butchering because he had six boys. They were all so talented in it. And so, his dad had, and then long story short, they opened up a meat market. Okay, because they had the skills to do the butchering and all that stuff, and then they would cook at home. They would barbecue at home. So, anyways, they had the meat market, and the deal about a meat market back then, the refrigeration wasn't like it is today. You know, so you couldn't hold on to the meat very long.
Mm-hmm.
So if the meat was getting close to where they were going to lose it, you have to throw it away because it's spoiled. They would cook it.
Oh.
So they cooked it. Okay? Yeah.
Don't you say jerky?
No, they cooked it. So anything that was about to go bad, they would cook it, season it, cook it, and they would sell the cooked product out of the back door. Okay? So meat market in the front, cooked product out the back door. So it got to where the popularity of their barbecue, they were selling more out of the back door than the front door. So they all, said, "Hey, this is, we can make a go at this." And so they all helped each other out. And that's what I love about the family so much. They were all so helpful to each other to get each other started in business. Because all six brothers had a barbecue restaurant at one time. But they started those with the help of each other. And I also want to put in that all six brothers served in the military and fought in the Korean War and a couple in the
God bless him, a soldier and a cook.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So isn't that great? So anyways, that's how they got their start, and they all kind of helped each other out. And at one time, there were six in operation. Now there's one in Columbus and El Campo, and then ours in Temple, Belton, and Cameron.
Temple, Belton, and Cameron. That's just
that's
three.
Ours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, I had a question here, and I just lost it. Talk about something. I got to find this question I want to ask you.
Okay. So also,
I know what it was. The location on 57th Street.
Yes.
You had that small building there first. Was that the original one there?
That was an original. That building had been there forever, even before Dad took it over.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that was the original Klimakeskas.
I remember
but
going in there.
Back
place.
In the day, though, before he started, his brother Rudy had started a restaurant there. And he set up, he got, like I said, all the brothers helped each other out. So they set, Uncle Rudy kind of set up Dad, and then Dad took off, and then helped other brothers. So it was like a, family affair. But yeah, it's the original building.
Okay.
It was.
Now, what I'm going to ask you now is extremely important.
What's that?
It's probably secretive, top secret. Where did you get that bull?
Okay, so I know because if you think
I
about
wanted
it,
it, but when I thought I you guys were knocking the building down, I go, "Hey man, what's going
on
with that bull?"
I know everybody wanted it. So back in the day, you didn't have the internet where you could Google, fiberglass bull to put on your building. So this guy was traveling through town. He had a big long trailer, and Clem said he stopped, or Dad said he stopped at the restaurant and said, "I've got these items for sale." And in the back was their fiberglass animals. Like Dad said, there was a giraffe, I think a gorilla, and the cow, and the bull, and then all kind of other stuff. So he was looking, he's like, "Man, that's pretty cool." So the giraffe's neck was a little too long for the liking, so he went for the bull.
Well, that would make sense.
So it was a traveling salesman, literally.
Because you don't have giraffe barbecue.
I'm just kidding. Right. But yeah, can you imagine a giraffe on the building? But no, it was a so he was a traveling salesman. Isn't that cool?
Another interesting story would be to get that guy who sold that stuff and get behind his head and go, "What makes you sell animals like this?" That'd be an interesting topic.
And on the highway like this, funny. Oh, and then one time, one of the high schoolers in Temple High School thought it would be funny to go up there and rip his tail off. And so he did.
Oh.
And so he's missing his tail.
You got to fix that.
We found out who it was. He confessed 20 years later.
Wow.
So anyways, there's the bull story.
How do you maintain quality Giving, if Temple's the main location,
yes,
and you're dishing it out,
yes,
to Belton and Cameron here.
Certain items, yeah. A lot of the stores make their own stuff, though. You know, like, but as far as the sausage, of course not. We make that in the main store.
Okay, this is, yeah, this is a multiple question. One was, how do you maintain quality? How do you find a chef? Who is the chef? How do you maintain consistency in the food?
Well, you know, one thing about it, consistency starts with the products like this. You know, you keep everything the same.
She's showing
the seasoning. Yeah, you keep everything the same, and you start with good quality. You know, that's key. Start with good quality meat. Start with, you know, your produce. Make sure it's the best you can buy. Make sure the potatoes are fresh. Make sure everything is just good. So, and Dad's our meat buyer. He buys all of our meat. He has such good relationships with all these meat packing plants and stuff. And so I think the key is start with good product and do it the same. Don't try and change everything. If it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
That's right.
So that's our kind of our motto. Just stick to your guns on your product. And
yeah, but you got fantastic product, and yep, then somebody screws it up, burns it or whatever. So
yes,
how do you,
that happens. It happens, but we you know.
If you have burnt meat, I love burnt meat. Send it to me.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. I think my mom used to burn food. I got used to it.
We try and try and you know, keep it's consistency is the key, truly. And our staff, they're so good. We have some of the best staff ever. They care. The bottom line, they care, and they're good at what they do.
But I'm serious. Unless you don't want to answer this, how do you, if you get a chef in, how do you say, okay, I got to make sure you know what you're doing here? Is there any criteria that you're looking at?
Well, again, somebody that has common sense, for one, and somebody that cares about what they're doing. You know, I guess, you know, a lot of things is take pride in themselves. Somebody that's, you know, takes a lot of pride in themselves will take a lot of pride in what you're trying to produce. You know what I'm saying? So
yes,
that's we look for in a person. Somebody that is going to, you know.
Maybe this would be more of a secret recipe type of deal. In other words, okay, I want the temperature at this.
Okay,
it cooks for this long.
Yeah.
I want certain meat this thick. It's got to have only so much fat content, you know.
And yeah, there are formulas, and you stick to them.
And we got to keep those secret.
Yes.
Okay.
quit asking me secret questions.
All right. Well, it's locked up in a safe somewhere, just like Coca-Cola.
But yeah, I know what you're saying. No, there's certain temperatures, there's certain weights, there's certain everything to make it, you know, come out the same every time.
I had a question here, and we touched on it slightly. Let's be a little bit more clear, though.
Okay.
What do you offer that people don't know about? I know we mentioned catfish and hamburgers, but
right,
and seasoning. But let's go over that again, because when I was over there at the Cameron location, mm-hmm, here, somebody came in and said, hey, man, you don't know what to eat? Get some catfish. They got catfish? I didn't know that. So what else may you have that we didn't touch on that might be a good thing?
You know, that's about it. We have a lot of good sides, too, Matt. There's, you know, we still make that home-baked bread over there in Cameron. Okay? So that's one of our little secrets at the Cameron location. Still bake our own bread. You know, but, you know, get out there and try that catfish and those burgers. They are so good. They're just like juicy old-fashioned burgers, and the girls do such a good job with them, and fresh ground meat. And, you know, also, one thing in our Cameron store, we do offer brisket and sirloin tri-tip. A lot of people are like, well, what's the difference to that? Well, brisket is, of course, brisket. It's got a little more fat content to it. It's a little flakier. Tri-tip is less fat and a little more steak consistency. It's a little, and the flavor is a little different. It really is. The tri-tip has more of a steak flavor as compared to your brisket. But they're both good, and we do offer both. I'm not sure if people know we offer both over there, but we do. A lot of people are stuck on that tri-tip, too.
Anna, there was something that we should talk about, too, because I've utilized this a lot. Mm-hmm. In my classes, in my seminars, mm-hmm, I offer free lunch.
Yeah.
And I come to you.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Thank you.
And I've done it. I used to do it where I would get tons of gift cards. So people may not know that you have gift cards.
Yes, yes.
And I'll say what I got and then promote that. But I used to get tons of gift cards. I mean, tons of them, right? Mm-hmm. But then I had them, and I would have them go there, and they would spend the money and get their plates. But now I just, while they're in the classroom, I say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and we go out and get the plates.
Yeah.
And you were mentioning something, and I want to say this. When I'm reading here, you're going to get a single plate, lunch plate, mm-hmm, and here are your side orders. And I'll go potato salad, coleslaw, pea salad, mac and cheese, pinto beans, green beans, and then I get the last one. I go hot buttered potatoes. Do you know how many people order hot buttered potatoes because I do that?
Yes, I
they're
do.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Okay,
we see it. They are good. And guess what makes them so good?
That seasoning, I'll
right
bet.
Right there, right there. It's just a potato, but this makes it good.
Talk about the gift card, though.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gift card is fantastic because it's a great gift, but is there a minimum? Is there
No, you can load it however much you want. $5,000. But, yeah, and the gift card can be used in Temple, Belton, and Cameron.
Oh, that's very convenient.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's a good deal.
Ladies and gentlemen, really, that's a neat gift to have. Corporations, businesses out there, if you're doing something, might be a great way to send out rotating staff that's learning something. That's what I used to do with the class, but then I wanted to have the camaraderie of the students in there so we would bring the food in. So, but either way, it's a great way. And I think, too, we would call it in sometimes, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, they could prep it so it's in and out real quick.
Oh, right? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Call in orders, take out all day long, yeah. 9696, what is it? I forget my own phone
number. Here's the menu. It's not even on the menu. Let's
yeah,
see.
It's right there.
Oh, there it is.
697-6060.
Okay, yeah. And here's the menu. So when you're looking at the video, maybe you can see some of the stuff that's on the video. And on the second page of this menu, we've got the some more deals. So check that out.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm showing it to you. So on Tuesday, you get to see it, take a snapshot of it so you have it available. And I'll tell you what, we're running down on time, so let's talk about your products here. I know we talked about this, but yes. Didn't you want to do something about the jerky?
Yeah, the jerky. We have our jerky package. Of course, there's Clem again. Don't kidnap him. And we have plain and jalapeno cheese.
Jalapeno.
And so,
jalapeno
cheese. That's all right. We have jalapeno cheese sausage. Oh, my gosh, I forgot to mention that. We make our own sausage in Temple, and we make the plain and jalapeno cheese, and it's so good. You got to try that.
Is there anything you offer that the Cameron location can't get for them that they would have to go to you directly in Temple?
Well,
or
you
can
know,
they order it through and then deliver it.
I think everything in Temple is. We do offer a lot of other things in the Temple location, but so you just have to come to Temple,
okay.
and have a chicken fried steak or a steak or whatever. But Cameron is a limited menu because the store is a little. It's a limited kitchen.
And once again, it's the Clem and Keska Barbecue in the Hilltop CEFCO building. It's to the right. It's not in the CEFCO, but it's in the same building. It's got its own separate wall division, so there you can go in there and get your stuff. Anna, what am I missing here that I want to ask you? Oh, website. What about your website?
Yes, clembbq.com. It's a great website.
Slow that down one more time.
clembbq.com. Okay. And it has all the information, has the Cameron menu, Temple menu, Belton menu, and just some other fun facts. Check that out, and it's real helpful.
Can you order food online, and do you cater?
We do cater. We cater all over the state of Texas. My gosh, we've been everywhere. We can do large caterings up to, 500-600 people, or we can do small stuff. We can, at the Cameron location, we can do pickup orders like for 30, 50 people. We can do that there, but large catering will have to go through the Temple location. But yes, we cater all over, and we have a variety of menus. Just give me a call. Or look on the website, our catering number's on there. Yes, we do cater a lot, so we'd love to have your business.
Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, they've got the special going on in the Cameron location only, and that is if you order a barbecue plate, the second plate is half price. You buy the first one at regular price, the second one's at half price.
That's a good deal. Y'all need to go take advantage of that.
Yeah, that really is a good deal. Yeah. So show them your support. Get yourself some lunch. It's almost 12 o'clock.
Because
get yourself some lunch here.
Pam and Raquel and Roger and Dustin and Rudy, some of our staff over there at Cameron. And again, I just want to thank them for all they do for that Cameron store and take care of it. And they'd be glad to take care of you and go see them.
But remember, you got to say you heard it here.
That's right.
Or you heard it on my social media, Facebook or Instagram, or you heard it right here on the show. Say, hey, heard you got a deal from the radio show. One plate, regular price, second barbecue plate at half price. Okay. Anna, you want to close this up with any last words on anything we may have forgotten or something you want to get across?
Come see us in Temple, Cameron, or Belton. We've been at this since 1965. We plan on keep this thing going for another 50 years, but we can't do that without y'all. So, again, we thank you and have a great weekend.
All right, Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back, I'll either have Master Cindy Key here in the flesh, or we'll do some type of repeat, or we'll talk over some details. So we'll see you on the other side.
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Ladies and gentlemen, Clem McKeska's has a long history of great-tasting barbecue in the Central Texas area. But did you know that Cameron has its very own Clem McKeska's barbecue? Located inside the Hilltop CEFCO right next door to the KMIL studios. Not only does Clem McKeska's have excellent barbecue, but absolutely delicious fried catfish and burgers that will make your mouth water. Eat in or drive through? Need to pre-order? No problem. Call Clem's at 254-697-6060. Clem McKeska Barbecue in Cameron inside the Hilltop CEFCO. Get your tender, finger-licking good barbecue and so much more from Clem McKeska's Barbecue in Cameron.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabin Adventure Radio Program. That was an awesome interview with Anna McKeska, owner of Clem McKeska's Barbecue. Don't forget, they got the special going on here in the Cameron location. Buy one barbecue plate for regular price. Get the second one for half price. And all you hungry guys out there, man, for not too much more money, you fill that stomach up. So go ahead and get it or take it home for later. Now, Master Cindy Key is not available today. She's having some family things going on. So we're just going to fill this in with some dates that are coming up. Today at 2 o'clock, I have one seat left, and that's for the license to carry class. Give me a call at 254-697-4721. Let me know you're coming. $60 for the course. It can be a refresher course for you for $40. That's just because I don't have to do any extra paperwork on you. And it's very important to know all this kind of stuff. So today at 2 o'clock is the class. Make sure you get there about 10 minutes early after you if you call me up. Next Friday, this Friday coming up in 6 days, is it? Six more days, whatever, on the 14th is the next round robin. Ladies and gentlemen, I talk about it all the time, the round robin competition. I started it and developed it for the reason if you're in self-defense shooting training practice, you never know if you're going to have your gun or somebody else's gun. Under stress, how can we replicate stress with accuracy? And the round robin competition is it. So it's $20 to enter, and if you win this time, this the 14th, you get an AR 15 and 300 blackout. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the homepage. At the top of the page there, there's a link for the competition, and you get to see all the rules and how it works. I need you there by 6:30 because it promptly, to sign in it, because it promptly starts at 7 o'clock. Doesn't take that long. It takes about an hour to get everybody through it. But it's a lot of fun, good training, and who knows, if you're on that day and somebody else is off, you might be able to walk away with a nice rifle and 300 blackout. Now, October 27th, write this down, will be my next and last home invasion seminar for this year. I usually set up two or three in the course of the year, and everybody else calls me up with their groups of people and sets their own date. But I'm setting a date. It's October 27th, 15 people. First come, first serve, pay in advance. You need to do it quick because it's going to close up fast. And it's a fantastic way to enhance your skills at self-defense shooting. 20 seconds. I got about 15 seconds left. So let's say this. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. The Circle of Life. Support the sponsors and support this show. And until next week, keep your powder dry. And God bless.